to Local Decision 2023 here on North Metro TV. And joining us in studio is Zach Arco, who is running for the Anoka-Hennepin School Board District 2. And Zach, thanks so much for stopping by. And I know you have a lot to get into. Let's start with, first and foremost, you have a wife and two young kids, so you have a vested interest in, you know, what kind of curriculum and everything they're going to see in school, don't you?
That is correct, as we all should, honestly. So, yeah, I very much care about the type of education my kids are going to receive, and that's part of what motivated me to run. So,
when did you have this epiphany, if you will, that, okay, I want to be on the school board of Anoka-Hennepin, which is the largest or second largest district in the state, depending on which year you're talking about. But when did you say, hey, I want to do this?
You know, it's a long story. You don't really think about these things until you have kids. At least I don't. And honestly, I think a lot of people don't. And once you have kids, then, you know, eventually, as they get close to school age, you start to ask the question, well, how am I going to educate them? And, you know, I went to the public school system. I had a great time there. My wife went to a private school. She had a great time. So I'd kind of just taken for granted we'd send them to the public school system. But, you know, being the analytical mind that I am, I look into things, right? I want to know how things are going. So when I started to look into the local public school system, let's just say I was dismayed. It's not what it was when I was there, and it's not what it should be. It's gotten off track. So that is really like the thing that started me down this path. And then, you know, as I was following up with what the current board was doing and their thoughts on some of these issues that I'm concerned about, it didn't seem like they were taking the school in the right direction. So I kind of threw my hat in the ring and said, you know what? Maybe I can help to be a part of the solution. So
define off track. Are you saying that the thing is derailed, or is it just need to be pushed back in the right direction, in your opinion?
I think it is a fixable situation. I think we could just push it back in the right direction. It will take time. So let me read. I have a little note here. I don't know if a lot of people are aware of this, but the state of Minnesota has a statute that says what the mission statement of the public education system is. Here it is. It's state statute 120A.03. It says the mission of public education in Minnesota, a system for lifelong learning, is to ensure individual academic achievement, an informed citizenry, and a highly productive workforce. And suffice it to say, those things are happening to some extent, but not nearly to the degree that they should be happening. And perhaps the single best statistic to capture what's going on is right now in the Anoka-Hennepin School District, we're at a point where it's just a little over 50% of third graders can read at a third grade level. And I specifically point out third graders because that is a key benchmark indicator of future success potential. Because generally, if you can't read at grade level in third grade, you're going to struggle tremendously going on, not just in school, but even afterwards. So we're at a point where it's just it's a flip of a coin if, you know, your third grader can read in the way that they should. So definitely not a good situation. I think it can be corrected with the right leadership. So, yeah.
Are those numbers skewed by COVID, or have you seen enough of those to think, this is the new normal?
So COVID, I don't have all the stats in front of me, but COVID was a big hit. And for that year or two, it made things worse quicker than it was getting. But these trends go back even more than a decade. So this has kind of just been the slow but steady trajectory that things have been going in. So, yeah, I think there's just some fundamental, like, there's some root causes that just aren't being addressed.
Right. So I know one of the main issues, prominent issues for you is, you know, turning around the declining academic performance.
Yeah.
How does that happen? Are there certain core subjects that you want to see get better?
Well, ideally all subjects, but the core ones, you know, the common ones we all know are the most kind of fundamental to a public education are reading, writing, and arithmetic. And then I would throw science in there. And those are the ones we got to focus on. In fact, there's another state statute, I don't have it on hand, that actually says that if a child in the Minnesota public school system cannot read at a third grade level in third grade, it is now the job of the school system to potentially even remove them from other classes to get them up to speed in reading because the state understands how important that is. And I'm not saying we necessarily need to go that far, but it shows the gravity of that, and it shows how we really need to focus on that, restore just the academic performance in those core areas, because that's kind of the basis of really all of education.
So you grew up in Blaine. We know that the city is exploding when it comes to growth and population. What's the capacity of schools and, you know, all these extra people moving in. Do we need more schools in Blaine?
We might. Depends on who you talk to. But so the again, a good story to kind of illustrate this is it was either last year or the year before in Sunrise Elementary, which is in Eastern Blaine, they had an issue where, not blaming anyone for this, by the way, they just had an issue where they couldn't actually fit, I believe it was all of the kindergartners in the school. So some of them had to get bused to, I believe it was Jefferson or another elementary school. And it's just because they reached capacity. And really what's happening right now in Blaine is Eastern Blaine in particular is just, it's booming. Like some of the sod farms over there have been sold. They're building a lot of houses, townhomes, apartments, and we just have a lot of people moving to Blaine, which is great. I think this is a great city. I love, more neighbors are great. I love it when my home city's growing. But we do have to make sure that we have enough facilities and capacity to meet the need of students so we don't have, like, situations where, you know, sometimes even, like, two siblings in this who otherwise would have gone to the same school building were separated and sent to separate schools. Like, that's not an ideal situation. So I think we just need to coordinate with the Blaine City Council better because they're the ones who are going to have all the data on this and then just make sure we keep up to pace. So
another thing that you've talked about in your bio is culturally and politically divisive content that has made its way into the school system. Can you expound on that?
Yes. So unless you've been living under a rock, I think everyone is aware to some extent that we live in a rather divisive cultural and political climate these days. And the goal of the public school system, as I read, it has nothing to do with cultural issues, nothing to do with political issues. It shouldn't take a stance on any of these things. And especially when a lot of them are values-based things, right? It's, like I said, like the mission statement said, it's the goal is to focus on academic achievement and informed citizenry and a highly productive workforce, not to teach divisive values. And there are certain values that we all agree on, like everyone should treat people with respect and kindness, of course. We all agree on that. You're going to have broad consensus there. But once you move into some of the more divisive issues, those subjects are better left in the hands of parents to teach their own kids. So, and the school system just needs to have very careful boundaries to separate the academics from the values-based things and to respect the rights of parents to raise their children according to their own values and beliefs. And I even have a story. So I've been indoors. So I can read this real quick to kind of, I think, perfectly illustrate what I'm talking about. I've been endorsed by the Anoka-Hennepin Parents Alliance, and one of the stories that they recently posted was, here, I'll just read it for you. This is something from an anonymous teacher that came forth to say this. They said, as an Anoka-Hennepin teacher, I'm speaking anonymously for fear of retaliation, but feel parents need to know what is going on inside the schools. There are good parents intentionally being kept in the dark while schools affirm their child's gender transition. At my school, teachers and administrators call a young student by a different name and pronouns at school and don't inform the parents. The parents should be involved, and I don't feel comfortable going behind their backs. There's a huge amount of pressure to go along with a child's gender confusion, and most teachers do. When speaking to the student's parents, staff use the child's given name and biological pronouns, hiding what is happening at the school. Unfortunately, my experience is not an isolated incident in the Anoka-Hennepin District. As a parent myself, I know this is wrong. The secret needs to be told. So obviously, any story like that, it needs to be, you know, verified, right? You can't just take something like that at face value, but the fact that somebody brought that forward, that's a concern that needs to be addressed. And the issue here, and this is really the heart of it, it's not what is your position on, or it's not like how do you feel about transgenderism, for example. That's not the question. The real issue here is that if this is true, it would appear that some staff are intentionally and knowingly deceiving parents about a major life decision that their child is making. And again, it's not about your view or my view or their view. It's that the parents are the ones who guide their children in these things. So to intentionally leave them out of the loop on these things, that crosses the line, in my opinion. And that's what needs to stop. Those divisive things like that, they need to just not be in the school system. The school system exists for academics, and parents have the final say on values and beliefs that they want to instill in their children. So we need to really carefully set those boundaries.
Yeah, and Anoka-Hennepin, very diverse. Can you achieve these goals and make everybody happy under the same umbrella? I know you can't get 100% anything. There's no consensus. But you do have a lot of different kids from separate backgrounds, different backgrounds, walking through those doors into the public school system.
Yeah. And so, yeah, well, so first and foremost, the highest priorities are to keep kids safe so they can learn. You need a safe learning environment. And then, like I said, the values we agree on are going to be respect and kindness. As for, you know, if I can accomplish these goals, I think there are a lot of parents who, and even teachers who agree with kind of what I'm talking about. I think they think the school system would be better in a state where it focuses on academics,
right,
and really stays in its lane, if you will. I'm not going to lie, though. I think there will be a lot of pushback as well. So I will certainly work my hardest to accomplish those goals. It kind of depends on how involved the parents want to get, the direction the board goes, and just there's a lot of moving pieces. And the state of Minnesota as well is passing various laws and mandates that they're kind of pulling things in a certain direction as well that we'll have to work with. So suffice it to say, it is a complicated web of things that we have to work through piece by piece. But I do think a lot of good progress can be made.
If a kid identifies as trans, can you make sure that they still feel welcome in the school system?
Oh, yeah. I think anyone should feel welcome. Anyone should feel like they're being treated
right
with respect and kindness, of course. Those are kind of the two I think everyone will agree with. The other issue, and so this is the one where it gets really tricky, is, again, kind of given the very emotional nature of these issues, is if you were to go back in time, you know, anyone in any generation knows kids can be mean, right? It's just what kids do. I mean, I was even picked on at some point in school. So you got to be careful to distinguish what is sadly, but also somewhat expected, just kids being mean to one another, which can happen really to anyone. And of course, we should try to make sure that doesn't happen. Get parents involved, prevent bullying. There's that which has always been an issue and probably always will be an issue because, you know, kids are kids. That's kind of what they do. And then there's, you know, as for particular demographics of people, right, if there is any particular demographic that needs, like, special help or anything, sure, I think we should give it to them. But just generally speaking, I think it's best if we just focus broadly on everyone treating everyone with respect and kindness and don't single out any particular people group. So,
yeah, and when you look at this district, obviously the footprint is huge. And
oh, yeah.
There's a lot of the backgrounds are, you know, these kids come from various backgrounds. But when you talk about teachers and the lack of teachers, there's a shortage out there. How do you address that? How do you get people to want to teach in the Anoka-Hennepin School District? Is it simply more compensation?
Well, you know, you pay someone enough, you could get them to do just about any job. But no, I think there's really two things, two major things that need to change to get more teachers, to not only keep the good teachers that we have, but to get more teachers to come in. The first one is we do need to redirect some of the funds in the budget from things that, let's just say, are not as focused on academics to really the basics. You know, you have a massive list of things that all need funding that, you know, different people think are important in different ways. But at the end of the day, you have to start with really two things. Fund the facilities and fund the teachers. If you don't have buildings, you can't really teach anything. And then if you don't have teachers, well, there's no one to teach. So those are the two most important things to fund initially, and you have to fully fund those. And only once those are fully funded, then you worry about all of the other things that need money, and you meet those needs to the best that you can. So I think first and foremost, it's just basic economics 101. We redirect some of the funding to pay salaries that will not only retain who we have, but draw new talent as well. That's the first thing, which, again, I won't be shy about this. That means you have to take money away from other things, but for a good cause, right? To redirect it to where it will better suit the purposes of the education system. The second thing, and I've heard this complaint from a lot of teachers as I've been out campaigning, in fact, almost all of them, is they feel like there's a lot of there's kind of an atmosphere of disrespect and there's a lot of disruptive students, which again, kids are kids, that'll happen. But the issue there is they don't feel like they're getting the support they need from the administrative staff. So that whole culture needs to change and the teachers need to not only get the support from the administrative staff to deal with some of these issues, but they need to feel like they're getting the support. And just to go back a little bit, another thing I just thought of is in the Anoka-Hennepin school system we currently have, I want to say it's around, I think it's a little over 200 licensed teachers that are not currently in teaching positions. You know, they're doing some other position in the school. A very kind of low-hanging fruit, really easy opportunity there would be to just take some of those already existing staff and have them fill the teaching roles that we desperately need filled. So, but yeah.
School safety is always a hot button issue, but it seems like it's really you know, out there these days with all the troubles we've had across the nation.
Yeah.
How do you address that?
That one is tough. So you are probably aware, a lot of people are aware of the recent, you know, Minnesota laws that have effectively made having SROs not possible. All of the local police departments that we had SRO contracts with have chosen to not continue those because their police would be liable if they, you know, broke up fights and did certain things. You could read the law, it's out there. First and foremost, and this is unfortunately beyond the ability of the board to address, but we need the state law to change. So there is calls for a special session to just repeal those couple laws to allow the SROs back in. That's the easy first step. Unfortunately, other than voicing support, which I absolutely will do if I get elected, that's the big first thing. And I think if the largest school district in the state of Minnesota wrote a letter to the state legislature and the governor and all them saying, hey, please do this, we want our SROs back, I think that would carry some weight. So that's the first big thing that I would definitely support. Other measures, though, this is still such a new issue that I can't give maybe a comprehensive answer as to what to do to guarantee kids are safe, other than simply acknowledging that, unfortunately, we've taken a step in the wrong direction. And yeah, safety is, of course, the highest priority, because if you have no safety, you have nothing else. So we do need to address that, and that would be one of my top goals once elected. So,
all right, tell the viewers, why should they vote for Zach Arco for the Anoka-Hennepin School Board?
Why you should vote for me? I think there's a handful of reasons. The first one is I have a heart for kids. At a church I attended previously, I worked with the youth group. I was a leader, a teacher. I just love helping kids reach their full potential. When I was in college a while back, I was actually a math tutor. So while a tutor isn't necessarily a teacher, I do have some teaching experience in that sense. And I did an excellent job of that. I love that. I got high praise for it. So I have teaching experience. I have as someone who would theoretically be in charge of the education system, I think it's important to have an education yourself. I have a degree in mechanical engineering I got right here from the University of Minnesota Twin Cities. And the last qualification, I think, is a hidden gem that is worth really going into, is the fact that not only am I a mechanical engineer, but I also have experience working as an automotive technician. And that might not seem applicable, but really what those two things have in common is it requires an analytical mind that can diagnose problems and bring correct solutions. Because if you think about like how a car shop works, somebody brings their car in and they say, hey, my car is making this noise or it doesn't work. Can you fix it? They don't necessarily know why it's doing that. That's your job to figure. That's the technician's job to figure out. And it's the only way you can correctly fix a problem is if you have a proper diagnosis in the first place. And I did that when I was an automotive technician. I still use that analytical mind as a mechanical engineer to this day. And the reason this skill and this ability is so critical is because if you think about it, kind of continuing with this example, if you diagnose a situation incorrectly, and then based upon an incorrect diagnosis, you implement a solution that doesn't work, not only does that not help, it actually makes things significantly worse. So again, think about like a car. If it turns out, somebody brings their car and it's making a noise, you replace the wrong part thinking that you fixed it and they think you fixed it, then they drive off. Well, they just wasted their time. They just wasted their money on a part they didn't need. And perhaps worst of all, now they're driving in a car that's still broken. And unless they figure that out quickly, it might be dangerous for them. And all of those same things apply to just problems in general. If you implement an improper solution based upon an improper diagnosis, you can actually make things a lot worse. And given the fact that I have an analytical mind, I think I have a firm handle on all of the problems or the major problems that the school system is facing, and I think I have a pretty good handle on what the solutions are. We need that proper diagnosis so that we can have a proper solution so that we can turn the school system around, restore academics, and just put it right back in its lane where it's supposed to be. So those are the reasons I think I make a great candidate, and you should vote for me.
All right. Well, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Good luck on the campaign trail. He's Zach Arco, running for Anoka-Hennepin School Board in District 2. This is Local Decision 2023 here on North Metro TV.